Can I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Peter, the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter, and to the chapter number 5. 1 Peter, the chapter number 5. We're going to begin our reading here at the verse number 1, and we'll read down to the end of verse number 7. So 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning to read here at the verse number 1, and let us hear the word of the Lord. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Would you bow with me, please, again in prayer? And we'll ask the Lord even for his help in the preaching of his truth today. Our gracious and eternal God, we come into thy presence this morning again. And Lord, we ask for divine unction. We ask for help. We acknowledge, O God, that the task of preaching is above us, beyond our capabilities. Lord, that it is something that cannot be done in the arm of flesh, but can only be done and performed through the ministry of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray today that you'll take this simple text and this simple message, and that you'll open up, O Lord, the glories and the beauties of what Christ has promised to us before us. That we, Father, would see the tender compassion of our Savior. That we would see his marvelous care and concern for us. And that, O God, today we might leave with that greater assurance upon our heart. That our God is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That he is the one to whom we can have that intimate relationship of going to him and casting all our care upon him. Lord, may it be so. Fill us with the Holy Spirit today. Speak to every heart, for we ask it for Christ's eternal glory. Amen and amen. In 1819, an Ulsterman by the name of Joseph Scriven was born in Northern Ireland. He was born into a family of great wealth and subsequently was given a good education, eventually graduating from Trinity College in Dublin. He enrolled in a military college to prepare for a career in the military. However, poor health forced him to give up that ambition. Joseph then became a teacher, and it was during this time that he was setting up his life that he fell in love and was engaged and had made plans to settle in his hometown. However, God had other plans, because on the night before his wedding, his fiancée tragically drowned. Shortly after this, Joseph Scriven left Northern Ireland to start a new life in the country of Canada. He set up his home in Port Hope, a place that may be familiar to you, where our brother Reggie Cranston ministers. And it was there that he met and fell in love with a woman called Eliza Rice. However, again, God had other plans for his life, because just weeks before the wedding, she suddenly grew sick and passed away. In a matter of weeks, Joseph Scriven's second fiancée had also tragically died. Joseph then dedicated his life to the poor and destitute of the place of Port Hope. He became known as the Samaritan, or the Good Samaritan of Port Hope. Sometime later, Joseph Scriven received the news that his mother had taken very seriously ill. And because he had given so much of his wealth away and so much of his fortune away to the poor and destitute of that area, he had no money or resources to go and to visit her upon her deathbed. Although unable to go and see her, he wrote to her a letter. And in that letter, he scribbled down a poem to comfort her. After his own tragic death in 1886 by drowning in a lake, the words of that poem that he wrote to his mother became famous as one of his friends took that letter and then published those words. And the poem is as follows in our own hymn book: "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." Throughout his life, and especially in those dark and challenging, difficult providences that Joseph Scriven had to endure and go through, he knew, I believe, what to do with the burdens of life. He knew, as the psalmist had experienced, and as we read this morning in Psalm 55, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Every single one of us who are here this morning will be prone, or will have to, in some point in our lives, go through difficult and dark providences. There will be times in our lives when we will walk the mountain peaks. We will go through the sunshine, and we will go through those days when it seems to be everything is falling into place, everything is going right, and it just seems to be as if the blessing of God is upon our life. But there's other seasons of heaviness, as Peter would describe in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, that we often have to endure. And it seems to be that we go through periods of our life whenever the sunshine turns to darkness, when the mountaintop experience turns to the valley, and when it seems to be, instead of the blessing of God, it seems to be that we say, as Job, "All these things are against me." We must remind ourselves that even whenever we're in the midst of the storm, that whether we're walking the mountaintop or whether we're walking through the valley experience, whether the sunshine is upon us and the blessing of God, or whether it seems to be the darkness has come over our soul and we're in those times of doubt and despair, we must remember that God has providentially brought us into all these things, and that there is nothing that God in his providence has brought us into that he has not a purpose in, and he has not a plan then also to bring us through. In these moments, the child of God must act differently to the world around about them. We act differently because we are not like the world that have no hope. We act differently because we are not like those who do not have a Savior, or do not have a God who works in his sovereignty and his providence to tie and to bring all things together for good. But rather, we live as Christians. We live as those who have a real hope. We live as those who do not look down, but rather those who look up to our God, and we place and we put our hope and trust in him. My friend, I wonder, in those moments of despair, have you been able to cast your burden upon the Lord? Or have you been so overcome with grief and so overcome with discouragement that, my friend, you've just reclined into yourself? You've just said, like Job, "All these things are against me." And you've just, at those times that the psalmist went through in the Psalms, where he was just in the midst of despair and despondency, and you couldn't lift yourself from it. Well, I pray today, my friend, that you would be reminded, as in our text in verse number 7, to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oftentimes, we miss out on so much of the depth of God's truth, of his nature, of his character, due to the simplicity of the message and the way that God has recorded it in Scripture. You really couldn't get any more simpler words. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But yet, my friend, this morning there is profound truth in this. There is wonderful truth for the child of God. And I pray that we would see it and that the Spirit would apply it to our hearts this morning. I want us to consider casting our care upon Christ. Casting our care upon Christ. And we're going to draw three things out from this text. First of all, the command to cast. Secondly, the Christ who comforts. And then thirdly, the compassion of Christ. Look with me, first of all, here at the command to cast. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now let's consider, first of all, the definition that is here in this command. We are told here to cast our care upon him. The Greek word there is heperipto, and it means to cast upon or to throw upon. It speaks about somebody being intentional. It speaks about somebody making a realized effort. Somebody who is thinking about this, somebody who is planning this, somebody who is understanding what they're going through, but they're making that conscious effort to take the burden or the worry or the care that is currently upon their heart and to specifically and intentionally cast it upon the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, are you purposeful with your burdens? As God has been purposeful with your burdens, and God has brought the trials and difficulties and all the tragedies and all the dark providences in your life for a specific purpose, well, are you purposeful with those burdens? Do you take them whenever they come into your life, and do you take them before the Lord and say, Lord, you have brought this into my life. Lord, I'm here at this moment in my life because you have purposed this, you have planned this, and Lord, I know what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to be intentional. I meant to take this burden, and I meant to be purposeful in casting it upon the Lord. Oftentimes, we do not respond that way, don't we, child of God? When difficulty comes, we bury our heads in the sand. When tragedy enters into our life, we recline within ourselves. Perhaps we go the other way and we talk to everybody else, but we don't talk to the Lord. But here, the Lord has exhorted us, and it's a mercy, a tender mercy. Cast your care upon me. There are those, and I'm sure you know them, who just are people persons, you could say that. And they just will listen to you, and they'll bear your burdens. Perhaps you even have a friend that you go to and you unburden yourself, and you know you can go to them because of their deep love and affection. Well, my friend, see the love and affection of God for this people here, where he exhorts you, he encourages you, he invites you, come to me. Come to me and cast your care upon me. I want to know it. I want to bear it. I want to go through it with you. I want you to come and get on your knees and to cry out before me. I want you to take the burden that I have laid upon you and bring it back to me. Oh, my friends, see the love of God for your soul, where he is not chastening you for no seemingly purpose, but rather he's chastening you and he's buffeting you so that you'll come to him and you'll cast your care upon him. The Lord brings us through those seasons of heaviness. Why? That he might draw us closer to himself. That he might bring us into the place of prayer. That we might cast our burden upon the Lord. But it's also instructional as well. As we think about this definition, we are to throw our burden upon the Lord. But what does that mean? Well, obviously it's not physically. You can't take the burden of your children and just throw them upon the Lord physically. Well, that's one of the burdens of life that can come upon you. But my friend, we are to do this in that spiritual way. Oftentimes, the greatest burdens and worries and cares that come upon us is not something nonetheless physical, but it can be spiritual. It can be those doubts of assurance, those doubts of salvation, those doubts of wondering, is the Lord punishing me in some way for something I've done? Those doubts of, have I sinned this week, and is the Lord's presence removed from me? And yet, my friend, the instruction is here is one of trusting, is one of prayer, is one of faith. You see, we are casting our care upon the Lord, believing that he would receive it. We're putting it upon him, believing his word, where he has exhorted us to come and to cast our burden upon him. We must come with faith. And so, my friend, as you cast your burden upon the Lord and you're entering into your closet and you're crying out to God to help you and to bear you along and to help you see the purpose behind the tragedy or the situation that you're in, you must come with faith. You must come with belief. You must come knowing that God wants you to come and that God is wanting you to cast your care upon him. But notice also the direction here. It says we are to cast all our care upon him. And as I said in my introduction, sometimes the things of greatest depth are presented to us in the simplest form. Casting all your care upon him. My friend, that word, let it grip you this morning as you think about it. Don't miss it because of its simplicity. Cast all your care upon him. What burden have you come with to the house of God this morning? Well, let me tell you, my friend, there is no burden upon your heart that the Lord will not receive, that the Lord does not want you to cast it upon him that he might bear it for you. My friend, he says, come with all your burdens, with all your cares, and come and cast it upon him. You think of the one who writes this, Peter. Peter comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what cares could be upon his soul? What about the cares of his own failure? When he said to the Lord, I will never deny you, though everyone else, all of these other disciples, they'll run and they'll leave you, yet I will never forsake you. And yet only a few hours later, in front of a little maid, he denied the Lord three times and he cursed his Savior. Oh, my friend, here is Peter writing, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have you failed the Lord this week? Have you become discouraged by sin? Has there been some sin that has overtaken you and you feel the weight of it upon your soul? My friend, come to him this morning and cast on him your failure. Cast on him your sin, because he says, cast all your care upon him. Are you fainting this morning? Are you fainting in your Christian walk? You've been a believer for many years, and perhaps your own Christian experience and your Christian walk has become stale and dry, and you seem to be just going through the motions, and you're looking for that revival of soul, and you're crying out for God to satisfy you. My friend, come to him with your discouragement. Come to him with your fainting fits. Cast on him all your care. Do you have the care of a family member this morning? Perhaps one who is not saved. Perhaps one who just seems to be getting more rebellious year after year and week after week, and they just seem to be hardening themselves against the gospel. Oh, bring that person to the Lord in prayer this morning and cast them upon the Lord. My friend, are you concerned about your children this morning? You see the world that your children are growing up in, and you seem to be becoming more like your parents more and more, where you begin to worry more and more about the world that your children are going to be brought up in. I remember older people saying that all the time. We worry about the life, or we worry about the culture that our children are going to grow up in. And you can never understand it, really, until you begin to see the change within your own lifetime. You see this transgender movement being pushed upon our children, not just to be tolerated in society, but to be forced upon our children, to be pushed upon them. In our own nation of Canada, in our city, actually in Prince George, there was a young girl who graduated from high school. And whenever she had entered into her final year of high school, one of the things that they were made to do in their class was they had to stand up, introduce their name, and also tell their preferred pronouns. Pushed upon them. Pushed upon them. We see the laws of our land seeming to bless those who are doing evil and to seem to be destroying those that are doing good. A man's right of self-defense is being removed from him. A man's right to be free in a free economy and to work and to provide for his family without government coming in and interfering or taking all of his wage away in taxation. And yet, my friend, it seems to be ever increasing. Government's power is growing and growing and growing. And we can look at these things, and we may not necessarily worry about ourselves, but we look to our children and we say, what life will they have? What will they live in 20 or 30 years to come if it keeps going this way? Well, bring your children to the Lord this morning and cast them upon him. My friend, it's too great a worry for you to carry yourself. Nobody's fit for that burden. Nobody's fit for that weight upon their soul. So come to Christ and cast it upon him. But notice what it says. It says we are to cast all your care upon him. That word care is the Greek word merina. It speaks about, as we would understand it more closely and understand it more today, anxiety. You can read that text, casting all of your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. That term anxiety, it means to be drawn in different directions, or to be torn in different directions. And oftentimes, my friend, there are those, and they enter through seasons of their life when it seems to be as if their mind is under attack. They go through perhaps a tragedy, go through a difficulty, And they enter into a season when there is that anxiety upon their mind, and they just feel as if they're being ripped apart, ripped in every direction, and they don't know where to go. My friend, are you here this morning with such a burden? As you've been coming to the house of the Lord, have you had the devil attacking your soul and your mind has been going this way and that way and so on, and you've just seemed to be brought to an end of yourself? Well, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. Cast all of your anxiety, all of your care upon Him. Leave nothing back. Don't think to yourself this morning, there's nothing that the Lord would not want me to cast upon Him. For He has said, cast all your care upon Him. It also, in this command to cast, it highlights the dependency that we have. The Lord is saying, casting all your care upon Him. And He's given out this promise. He's given out this exhortation. Because no matter how strong a Christian we are, we can never go through our Christian experience without depending upon the Lord. Without fully depending on Him. That sometimes can change as we go through our lives. When you're young, you're fit, or you're fitter. You may not necessarily be fit when you're young. It doesn't presuppose that. But you're young, you're fitter, and you're healthier. You're stronger. You're at a time in your life when it seems to be you're gaining all of these things. You're getting married. You're getting a house. You're having children. You're graduating. You're getting a job. And you're setting up your life. But there's also times, my friend, when you can get a little bit older, that you go through seasons or times whenever you just realize you can't cope. The burdens of this world simply get too heavy. And they can get too heavy for all of us. Men in this meeting, aren't we often expected to have a stiff upper lip? Aren't we often expected to carry burdens and weights upon our shoulders and to simply press on? And yet, brethren, isn't there times when you just feel the weight upon you and you feel pressed down? And you feel hard pressed by the burden, and you just say to yourself, I can't go on. I can't go on. Well, my friend, if you've come to the point this morning where you say, I can't go on, well, come to Christ and cast all of your care upon Him. Cast all of your anxiety and your worries and your fears upon Him, knowing that He careth for you. Again, I come back to that word all. And apart from it's in Scripture, you'd be making certain stipulations, wouldn't you? You'd be saying, cast your care upon the Lord, but make sure it's sensible. Cast your care upon the Lord, but make sure it's actually something that somebody would worry about. That's not what the Lord says. He says, cast all your care upon Me. Cast all. And my friend, there might be something that you're concerned about this morning, and you say, well, if anybody knew that I was concerned about that, they would think I would be mad. There's something that's worrying me, or there's something that troubles me in my own heart, and I'm concerned about it, but I dare not pray about it publicly, or people would laugh that such a thing would ever concern me. My friend, the Lord has said, come with all your care. Bring it all. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's causing you that anxiety or anxiousness of mind or thought, cast it upon Him. The Lord wants us to show our dependency upon Him, because whenever we cast it upon Him, we are expressing that Christian virtue of humility. As Augustine once said, the most important Christian virtue, or the three most important Christian virtues, are humility, humility, humility. We need humility of heart, humility of mind. And whenever we come to the Lord and we cast our care upon Him, it's not an evidence of weakness, it's an evidence of dependency. It's acknowledging, Lord, You're the only one that can sustain me. When the attacks of the devil come against me, I'm not able to bear them. I need to be carried along. When the struggles of this world come upon me, Lord, I can't endure. I need Your strength. It's acknowledging your dependency upon Him. You can never be too dependent upon the Lord, but you can be too independent from the Lord. You can be too independent. You can never be too weak for the Lord Jesus Christ to use you. But my friend, you can be too strong. My friend, you can never be so overcome with burdens and temptations that the Lord will say, I'm never going to use you, or I can't take that person, because He wants you to come to Him. Don't view these difficulties or dark providences in your life as somehow the Lord punishing you. He's using them to draw you to Himself. It's the opposite of what we think, isn't it? Whenever something or a tragedy happens or a difficulty or problem comes into our lives, we immediately think, it's the Lord punishing me. It's the Lord coming against me. And the Lord perhaps could be chasing us through it, but He's not doing it so that we run away from Him. He's not doing it so we simply cast us off. He's doing it that we might come to Him. We might run to Him. Like the prodigal son who had reached an end of himself. And he knew the only place he could go would be to run to his Father. So our Father wants us to run to Him. But notice here as well, secondly, the Christ who comforts. The Christ who comforts. It says, casting all your care upon Him. Upon Him. Who is the burden bearer? Who is the one that dares says that He has the sufficiency and the ability and the strength to carry all of our burdens? Who is the one that wants to hear our burdens? He is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, He is, first of all, in His person as God. And as God, we are encouraged to come in Him and cast all our care upon Him, because as God, He is able to carry the load. As God, He is able to carry the weight. As God, He is able to give that balm for the soul. As God, He is able to give that remedy, that verse of Scripture, that word of promise to the heart. He's able to succor them who are tempted. He's able to help those see the purpose behind the difficulties in their life. He is God. And we are exhorted to come to the One who is able, exceedingly able, carry our burdens. Isn't there times, my friend, whenever you perhaps have something on your heart and you say to someone, and they find out perhaps months later, and you say, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to trouble you. I didn't want to add any more worry on your shoulders. I didn't want to put any more weight upon you. And so you hold back your anxieties. You keep them within yourself. You don't express them because you don't want to overburden other people. And yet, my friend, you can never overburden God. Come to Him every single day with those worries and those fears, with all of those anxieties, and the Lord will be able to bear it because He is God. The Lord is greater. The Lord is greater than all of our fears and worries. He has broader shoulders than the broadest of our concerns. My friend, He is stronger and He is more mighty than any of the great difficulties and challenges that can come into our life. But He's also in His person as man. And as man, He is able to understand. He is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4, if you just turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let's just read together the verse 14 to 15. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows the temptations. He knows what it is to be attacked by hell. He knows what it is to have the devil come to Him, and in a moment even of physical weakness, as He was fasting there in the desert for those 40 days, He knows what it is for the devil to come at His weakest point and to tempt Him and to assault Him and to seek to turn His heart away from God. He knows the temptation. Are you attacked by Satan this morning? Has your mind been assaulted by him this week? Have you felt the constant attacks and assaults upon you by just coming upon you time and wave after wave? My friend, there is a man in the glory who is able to sympathize with you. There is a man in the glory that you can cast your care upon who knows exactly what you are going through. The Lord Jesus Christ also stood outside the tomb of Lazarus. And in standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, it says that shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He wept. Our Savior knows what it is to stand at the tomb of a loved one who has died and to weep over that separation, even though he would raise him up from the dead. Even though he knew it was only going to be a temporary separation, yet there still was that separation. Lazarus had died and he wept. Why? Because he loved Lazarus. He loved him. And my friend, perhaps you've had to stand at the graveside at a funeral service of a loved one. You've had to look over at the casket and say, there is my child, there is my brother, there is my wife, there is my father, there is my mother, there is my husband. And you felt that grief upon your soul. You felt that weight coming upon you. Well, my friend, lift your care and your burden heavenward, because your Savior knows what you're going through. He knows your pain. He knows that sickness that you just feel inside. He knows that sense of despondency. And he's able to come and sympathize with you. Oh, what a Savior we have this morning. Is there anybody in this world that can sympathize like him? Oh, you go to somebody and you unburden yourself, and they can sympathize with you, and they can say, well, let me help you and all this here, but they don't really know the pain. They don't really know the anxiety. They don't really know the care and the burden. And yet, my friend, when you come to Christ in prayer and you cast your burden upon him, my friend, he sustains you because he's able to sympathize with you. But also, he comforts us not just in his person as God and man, but we're able to be comforted through his promises. Through his promises. Oftentimes, we can come to him with worries about provision. One of the chief worries that people can have in their lives about provision. Lord, will there be enough for the future? Lord, will there be enough for my old age? Lord, will I have enough to do something for my children when I'm gone? Lord, will I have enough to be able to provide for my wife and to provide for my children? And yet what does he promise? He points us to little sparrows. The sparrows, all they do is fly about and eat, lay eggs and go on. They're not involved in business. You've never seen a company that was set up by sparrows or ground that was tilled by sparrows or anything else. They never sow seeds or anything else, and yet they're fed all the time. And my friend, that isn't teaching us to be negligent. That's not saying you can just sit back and not sow and just trust the Lord that there'll be a harvest anyway. But it is saying that the Lord will provide for his people. He always provides. What about the lily of the field? Doesn't spin, doesn't toil, doesn't put together its raiment, doesn't go down to, I'm trying to think of a suit shop in Belfast, but I can't think of one in my head at the minute, but you think of your suit shop that you go to, or ladies, your dress shop that you go to, the lily doesn't go there. And yet, my friend, there is not one of us that is clothed in such beauty as the lily of the field. Does Christ not promise to provide for us? As we go to him with our worry and care, has he not said that he will provide? But also as well, his promise of providence. His promise of providence that he overrules. And this is where the Christian in their life goes in a completely different path than the unbeliever. When the Christian is thrust into tragedy, when the Christian is thrust into difficulty, when the Christian is thrust into a dark providence, it is exactly that. It is a providence. It is something that God has purposed and planned or permitted to come into their lives. As we think about that, in what's called God's efficacious decree, where he himself has acted and he has so organized all of the things to come about, and he has rendered that event certain to happen. But there is also then God's permissive decree, where he permits things to happen, even the evil of the world. Now, he does not orchestrate the evil intention within the heart of man. He does not originate or start the evil inclination, but he permits man to go his way in sin, but he overrules man. Just like Joseph, when he looked at his sinful brothers who sold him into slavery, he says, ye meant it for evil. You did your wicked deed, and God permitted you to do it, but God had overruled it for good. My friend, even the things of wickedness, the things of difficulty, the dark providences that come into our lives, God is able to overrule, and he's able to work them together for good. That's why the Bible says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise it. We're prone to it. Preacher, hearer alike, we despise it, don't we? Yet, my friend, the Lord is doing something, even in the midst of it. Is there something that you're going through today? Well, I pray that you would be able to see the overruling hand of God. As Martin Luther said, although you cannot see God's hand, you can always trust his heart. You can always know what the Lord is doing is for his people's good and for his glory. But finally, and very briefly, notice here the compassion of Christ. In many ways, this is a depth that we will not be able to mine. There is treasure here that we will not be able to fully uncover. So here we have a glimpse into the heart of our Savior for his people. You have no doubt, my friend, as I have heard these words hundreds of times throughout your Christian life, perhaps thousands of times for those who are a little more senior among us this morning. You've heard this verse prayed. You've heard it preached dozens of times. You've seen it on children's memory verse cards. You've memorized it yourself even as a child. You've found it in your daily devotional book. But I wonder, have you ever seen the depth here? He cares for you. My immediate response to that is, how can it be? Does he not know me? Does he not know that I'm a sinner? Does he not know that I'm a failure? Does he not know that I sin every single day in thought, word, and deed? Does he not know that oftentimes the difficulties in life are self-inflicted and brought upon me by my own stupidity and by my own weakness and my own lack of sense? And yet, my friend, he cares for me. He cares for me. He loves me. Such is the tender compassion and heart of our God. Don't miss the depth of this morning. God loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. Oh, my friend, that we would understand that this morning. Because in many ways, unless we understand that, we'll never be able to cast our care upon him, really. Unless we see and we understand the depth to which he cares for us and he loves us, that we will not be fully able to understand that he wants us to come with our care. He wants us to come and cast it upon him. This compassion, this care that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us is eternal. There is nothing that shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. It's also evangelical. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is for the sinner. And perhaps there's one here this morning and you feel that burden upon your soul, that burden, that weight of sin. You feel that guilt upon your conscience and you've been troubled now for a time and you realize that you've broken God's law, that you stand condemned in his sight, that you deserve an eternal punishment in hell, and you feel that conviction, that guilt upon you. Well, my friend, come to Christ this morning. And cast on him your weight of sin. Cast on him your care. And know that he has sent his Son into the world to die for sinners. To be able to deal with your sin. It's evangelical. But it's also experimental. It's also experimental. Ephesians chapter 3 in the verse number 17. Paul records there in that verse of Scripture that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. It's experimental, my friend, because you can know the love of Christ for you. You can know the Spirit of God working in your heart, ministering to your soul, assuring you of your salvation, assuring you that Christ wants to receive the guilty sinner, and assuring you, my friend, that he cares for you. Do you feel as if the Lord has forsaken you this morning? Do you feel as if God has abandoned you? Do you feel as if you're left to go through the darkness of life all by yourself? Well, my friend, I pray that you would taste this morning of this experimental love. That you would taste and see that the Lord is good. That you would know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding. It's far above and beyond what we could ever expect to receive from Him. He careth for you. He cares for His saints. He cares for the sinner. Oh, my friend, I pray that you would come to Him this morning. That you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ with your care. He invites you. He exhorts you. He encourages you to come. What will you do? Will you leave the house of God this morning still with those burdens and anxieties upon your heart? Or will you say, Lord, I'm going to take this matter to you in prayer. And I'm going to leave the issue with you. I'm going to leave it with you. And I'm going to trust that your grace is sufficient for me for whatever difficulty or trial that you will have to take me through. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to cast all my care upon you. Why? Because I know you care for me.